You're listening to the best of FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents.
We're joined now by producer Arabella Burfitt Duns. We're talking about a comedy horror film called FUBAR.
I really think it should do a theatrical release.
Pop it in an Odeon then.
She's already a producer now. You don't have to let someone come through the door and you go, pop it in an Odeon. Like, she's come in and gone, I've made this film and I don't know what to do. Please, can you help me? I've heard you're a producer as well. Pop it in a fucking Odeon. Will you listen to yourself?
Every Monday.
Ian Boltsworth.
FUBAR Radio.
And we're joined now by Jack Carroll. Hello, Jack.
Now then, how are you doing?
All right, thank you, man. And Antonio Akil.
Hello, yes, Akil.
And we're going to be talking about Eaten by Lions.
We are.
There's a spate of quote-unquote underground independent films at the moment that appear to be gathering brilliant momentum. And I think Eaten by Lions is one of those. Certainly, from an outside eye, it certainly appears to have gathered a real momentum. Mm. And it's been a while in the making though, right, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years to get it to this point. So I think we filmed in April 2017 and it's just seeing the light of day now. So there's been a lot of hard work gone into it. And I think that's the key point, really, that I'm banging on about, is you've got your Marvels and your Disneys with the multi-million pound sort of blockbusters, and that's what we're up against. So I don't want to be the Karl Marx of the film industry, but I think we've got to go to war.
I don't want to be the Karl Marx of the film industry, but I will.
but I do want to get pissed on a couch and have my best mate pay for everything.
But you're right, there is a great push at the moment for independent cinema. People are wanting something new. You know, we are kind of being fed a massive influx of blockbuster films, but there are people that are hungry for independent stories and, I guess, diverse storytelling.
I know your background, Jack, pretty much, but I don't know your background, really, in terms of, are you an actor, an actor first and foremost?
Yes, from
an
acting background?
Because I guess, really, within that cast, and I say this with all due respect, you're the least known out of the cast, but you're the leads within it, which is actually kind of cool. You know, that's a nice thing, that to have that support structure around you of people who've been there, done it, and then you guys are in there.
They wanted to cast unknowns essentially so that we could follow them in their story and it not be a, you know, like a star-driven thing. I guess it just happened really organically. It wasn't really.
Has
like
Jack gone quiet because he thinks he's a star?
He's falling asleep.
I've got to say I'm a bit furious at the insinuation. All these speakers are about to get dashed out of the window.
Jack, calm down. Do a dick joke.
Go on, Jack. Lower the tone.
I need to just level out a bit.
Let me qualify this. I'm going to qualify this with a compliment. Is what I'm going to do.
So you've seen the film.
I've not seen the film.
You sound like you have.
No, I'm not. But I'm going to qualify with a compliment. So what I will say is that Jack, I guess, would be known to a certain amount of people, certainly, from misdemeanors past, right?
Yeah, crime watch. Yeah. Post office robberies. Cowboy building.
I quite like it. The first time I gigged with you, Jack, I remember thinking, to my shame, by the way, I will say this, I remember being like, fuck's he doing on the bill? like, really was that. Do you know what I mean? It was like, he's been on a fucking talent show. Now he's fucking headlining. He can't headline this gig.
Yeah.
Right, and that was my feeling at the time. Yeah. Then I met you, and as with always with this situation, like, oh, he's fucking lovely, that lad, right? Do you know what I mean? I wanted to hate that lad. And I spoke to you and you spoke to your dad as well. That's how we spoke about rugby league and stuff. And when I heard about Eaten by Lions a while back now, I was kind of thrilled for your involvement in this, because I felt like it would have been so easy for you to take a route that would have been an easier path for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Given the burst of publicity you'd had from, you know, from doing the talent show thing. So I felt that, oh, I like that. I like that he's doing something that isn't something he's showcased before. Do you know what I mean? I really mean it in a condescending way.
I don't know if that's a conscious decision. I think, you know, I'm just attracted to sort of quality stuff rather than the quantity of doing stuff for the sake of
it.
And I think this story, you know, obviously I've been involved from the short version back in 2013.
Of course, because it started with a short film, didn't it?
Yeah. And it's a project that's sort of really close to my heart, really.
Right.
And I think, you know, cheers for saying that, actually, because it's
I'm honestly not trying to be patronising anyway.
Yeah,
so
no,
really
I think it's a valuable thing to bring up, actually, because I suppose I could have, you know, done easier stuff, but
definitely.
I've chosen to do this, which is good.
He told someone today that he was going to do Dancing on Ice. Yeah. She believed him.
Yeah, she because of the radio, obviously, she didn't get to see the walking frames.
Really? And then she actually said, you'd be better on, what was it?
Strictly.
I was going, well,
please put it out there.
I think I'm at a sincere disadvantage on both shows, to be honest.
You're not.
Or an advantage.
You're not thinking outside the box. Yeah. You're not thinking outside the box here, Jack. You're not thinking of one entertainment. I don't want your disability to be considered to be something that's entertaining. However, I wouldn't be averse to that.
I was at an engagement do at the weekend, and that Cotton Eye Joe song came on. You know that Josie Doing song?
Yeah.
And me and my friend linked arms, and then he booted my frame around the dance floor in a circle.
So really, in a sense, and pardon my wording, you could walk Dancing on Ice because if they got someone with enough like stability on the ice, just go limp, mate. That's all you've got to do. Like, let them literally take you around.
Yes, and an albatross around the neck, just sort of going.
But you could literally win it by having a sleep.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just put me in an induced coma for 4 weeks.
Fuck me. That would honestly, terrestrial TV would win me back with that.
Hi, it's Ricky Beadle Blair.
Tom.
And we've just had an amazing experience with Ian Bolesworth in our new home, Fubar Radio. We had a whirlwind interview talking about our whirlwind play and about how romantic it is and how sexy it is and how edgy it is and how gay it is and how universal it is. This is the perfect place to talk about it because we could say what we wanted and not have to dumb it down or censor it so that it was palatable. Perfect. It was like being at home and the friend pops around, only I was the friend.
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Dan the Circle from the Circle.
I got catfished twice. One was an old lady.
Oh my days. I remember she came into the show and she was like, yeah, she's playing this young thing. And all the girls were like, yeah, she's buff. And like, all the girls,
catfished twice.
Literally within 2 days. And then the Alex thing happened 2 days later. And I thought, they've just bought me on the show to just.
That's because Dan loves to church girls, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why.
Every Wednesday,
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
From 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Speaking of legends, might I add, if you forgive my language, fucking legends.
Fucking legends. Yeah, like,
no, you can say something up. You can like say
yes, sir.
Motherfucking legends.
There you go. Yeah.
I knew that's what you're looking for. Motherfucking legends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Broken the ice. Broken the ice. Motherfucking legends. Thank you.
We do, of course, have Blackstreet in the house.
I can't believe I'm actually.
Listen, I can't believe I'm actually saying that with my own mouth.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What I'm saying.
That is just the weirdest thing I've said probably since I was born, because we had Donnell Jones in quite recently. And like, I've started playing R&B tic-tac-toe, you know what I mean? I think all I need now is to interview Jodeci, and I've just like interviewed all of my flipping R&B, really dope, like the people that I literally grew up listening to.
Hey, well, listen, it's a pleasure of y'all just having us here, you know what I mean? This country has just always blessed us and kept us the legends that we are.
It's true. Do not shy away from that word, Aubrey. You don't need to. Legends.
We don't shy away from it at all.
Yeah.
Capital letters. But even seeing your faces, it's like you look exactly the same. Nothing's changed.
But you know, black don't crack.
Black don't crack. That's true. You ain't never lie. That's the truth. I'm 60. No one knew.
First of all, were you pissed off when Backstreet Boys dropped? That's an important question for me.
Absolutely. I told Teddy we should sue these guys.
Really?
Because it's too close to our name. Because you know what?
That's what I thought.
Yes, exactly.
Look, they came out overseas. We came out first. You know what I mean? In Germany, like when we first started touring, you used to see signs with Backstreet Boys.
No way.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Backstreet Boys or Blackstreet Boys?
Backstreet Boys. And see, that was the thing.
It was too close.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do it, but you know.
I genuinely, I was young at the time. I must have been around 10 or 11 when I first heard of Backstreet Boys. And like, I even at that young age already knew that that sounded a lot like Blackstreet.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Already,
absolutely.
Do you
absolutely.
Know what I mean? And to be honest, you know, you could look at it as paying homage, or you could look at it as just downright like that's kind of taking the piss, because now there is a
kind of jumping on your wave in a way, because they know it's going to work, and it's like, yeah, that's kind of yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
You know?
They had an inside guy.
But you know, we still get along with those guys, you know what I mean?
I suppose it's not their fault. They probably didn't even name themselves.
And you know, they probably looked at you and were like, oh my God, this is, you know what I mean? They probably thought they were paying homage. You know, this is what usually. If you usually always realize what's going on.
You know, is it? Yeah, but it worked out for them, and we're definitely friends with them. We'd
that's good
love to
know.
Do a tour with them.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, imagine.
Really, you know what I mean? That'd be incredible.
Yes. It writes itself as well. Yeah. It writes the name of the tour. Just Black. Would you just call it Blackstreet Boys?
Blackstreet.
That would be amazing.
Pick
oh,
one.
Shit. Oh, shit.
Blackstreet Boys.
Blackstreet Boys.
Blackstreet Boys.
That'd be incredible.
Listen, but can you imagine the songs? Can you just imagine back to back songs?
Like I would write the set list right now, just off the top of my head. I'd be able to write my dream set list. Of both bands. No, I won't for now. I'm gonna wait for the tour to happen, and I'm gonna write it privately and then reveal it with a timestamp.
I hate you.
It's amazing how he has all that concocted in his mind. Like
no, but
that.
He does.
I think about weird things, man. I think about weird things. So what was it like working with Foxy Brown?
Oh, ooh. Man.
That was incredible.
Foxy was a wild one.
Oh, really?
She was a... She's great.
I like that.
If you can see the face right now.
That song is, man, even still today.
Oh,
it's like.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Listen, you can't go to especially a black UK wedding or like a proper
come
big
on.
People's dance without hearing that
right,
song.
Come
right.
on.
Or even wedding.
Trust me.
It was an anthem in New York.
Massive tune.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Wow.
Like, obviously, the original was huge, and that was kind of it was like symptomatic of that era, wasn't it? Like, a lot of people were looking back on the kind of old records and loving to like recognize the samples and stuff that you guys
and she was the first female hip hop to really come out like that, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It was amazing, you know?
Absolutely. And how different was that to working with, like, say, Pac? Did you, and I'm assuming that you were all in the studio together?
No, absolutely not. Let me tell you how that happened.
Yes.
You're talking about
inside story.
What's the song?
No Diggity Song Day Two.
No,
you're talking about Tupac. The song I did with Tupac.
Nah, I think they're talking about the sample.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, the sample, like "Don't Leave"
exactly.
being the changes.
So we were all label mates. Mm. You know what I mean? So
these are the important questions. That's what I mean.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. I'm trying to find out.
They tried to jack us. You know what I mean? So they even tried to jack us with the "No Diggity." Mm-hmm. If you go back to what's the song?
I can't think of it.
Yeah, what's the song? What's the song?
Did they have a similar song?
How do you want it?
How
do you want it?
No.
How do you want it?
No. It was called.
They actually took this.
They were dissing Dr. Dre in it because Dre wasn't part of Def Jam.
Death Row anymore. Right.
So they had Aaron Hall in there. They had they had
Jodeci.
Yeah, yeah. That was How Do You Want It, wasn't it?
No.
Was that
not How Do You Want It? It was called. It was Tupac. He released it.
Right.
It was called...
Because he dissed Dre quite a bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
He dissed Dre in there. No Diggity was definitely the, you know...
That is a
classic.
Still slaps. Still slaps.
Especially when we got Dre on it, it was kind of like...
It was over.
Do you know what I just clocked as well? I can't remember which one of you pointed it out. I think it was you, sir. That has no baseline.
Yeah, no, that was Mark.
No Diggity.
Yeah,
it has no baseline.
No baseline.
It doesn't at all.
How mad is
that?
And it still slaps so hard.
Yeah.
thank you so much for passing through.
We appreciate you.
Not as much as we appreciate you, family in here.
We appreciate it.
Yes,
you guys,
come on.
Y'all have fun on this show.
Are you guys coming to the show?
Yes, we are now.
Now, because we thought
it was last night because I've seen footage of last night's gig and I thought I'd missed it. I was climbing the tallest mountain in the UK, no, the third in England yesterday.
Really?
So I couldn't make it. You know, once I've got a decent excuse.
Yes.
But now that I know this one's on, we're there.
So won't you guys come and introduce us?
That would be great.
Are you serious?
Yes,
absolutely.
Because you know it's funny. I'm doing Jessica on the 14th of April, actually. So I'll be nice to meet
you. That is mental.
So I want you guys to hype the crowd up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, fuck it.
Let's
come on, man.
Yeah,
this is happening. Yeah. This is happening.
Fuck it. Yes.
Okay, now look. I don't need you acting like that on the stage.
Oh, yeah,
Terry can be catching all the bras and panties.
Yeah. All right. Yo, no, it's happening. Oh my
god. This is happening.
That's mad.
Okay.
That's what's up.
We are Drunk Women Solving Crime. I'm Katie Wilgan.
Yay.
I'm Taylor Clare.
I'm Hannah Jones.
We just had such a good time on the Michael and Marcel show. We played a game which, Hannah, you were definitely superior to Katie and myself. She stole one of our answers. So have we been the victim of a crime today? Yes, we have.
I entirely cheated because you wrote it down in front of me and I was just like, oh, it's that. And I wanted to impress Marcel. So. It was great. It was good fun. They gave us wine. Room temperature white wine. And I'm here for it. Yeah, very nice.
Best radio station ever.
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
I am joined by the wonderful Nick Levine. People are using wig now. It's a compliment. It's short for, you know, you snatched my wig.
Oh my god, wig, yeah.
Kim Kardashian's obviously been posting pictures as she does on Instagram, and loads of people out there have been just, you know, commenting wig. I guess she wasn't really familiar with the gay slang. She seemed actually quite upset. I was like, oh, baby girl, like, we're complimenting you. This isn't a bad thing. She's pissed off. She's like, I've had it with this wig shit. Like, why are you all saying I'm wearing a wig? And then she literally starts yanking on her own scalp to prove that she's not wearing a wig. I mean, queen of social media, but she needs to get on it with the gay lingo.
Every Wednesday,
Callum McSwiggan,
from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Today I am joined by the amazing trans activist and author. It's Miss Charlie Craggs. How are you doing?
Hey, Callum. I'm a bit out of breath. Sorry, just ran here. I was running late.
Thought, you know, get a bit of the cardio going before
just
you got here.
A bit me. I literally haven't ran since year 9 PE, so I'm really suffering.
I was not good in PE. It was my worst subject.
I didn't even do PE. I like, had an ingrown toenail for like 5 years.
Obviously, really?
No. Oh, obviously, like, it's like the LGBT excuse.
Yeah. In my final year of school, I managed to skip PE a lot as well. I would always just be busy or prior engaged when it rolled around.
Oh my god, I love it. So basically, you know emojis.
I know emojis. Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm emojis. Familiar.
Okay, so emojis. The trans flag emoji is the most requested emoji every single year for I think the last 3 years. And yet, Unicode, who are the ones who choose the emojis, have ignored that every year. So there's petitions every year. There's because you've got to sign proposals, and they're really in depth and really hard to do. But every year, that's ignored, and they do silly things like soup cans and toboggans. And
there's really bizarre ones, isn't
ones
there?
That no one will ever use. Yeah. Like, there's a website for most useless emoji of the day, and like some of them, I'm like, I didn't even know that was an emoji. Like, yeah. Stupid things, like I said, like toboggans and soup cans. But yet, a flag for a community that's a really substantial size community,
really
as well. Like, we're
yeah.
bigger than some countries that have flags on there. We're just ignored, and it's the fact that I didn't have a problem with the fact that we don't have a flag, but I had a problem with the fact that they know it's the most requested every single year, and they still ignore it. So I hijacked the lobster emoji because they've just brought out a lobster emoji on the new update, and I said, well, if you're not going to give us a trans symbol, I'm going to hijack the lobster as our trans symbol, because lobsters, as you might know, are like gynandromorphic, so they can be yeah. both male and female. They have both characteristics. And so yeah, I was like, we're going to make this our trans symbol. So I'm encouraging LGBT people to post the lobster. And
I love it. I think it's so clever.
Thank you so much.
And I'm glad you clarified, because I'm sure for 2 solid minutes there people were listening and going, I yeah. don't understand.
And also, I
what this has to do with
also
lobsters.
Like, having had just run for 2 minutes, sat down on this mic, and then had to give you an elevator pitch of my whole campaign. I'm so proud of myself right
it's
now. I feel
challenge.
Like I'm on The Apprentice.
You did well. I'm
yes.
very, very
oh
impressed.
Oh my god, my neck is so sweaty. I love it.
I think it's really interesting point you said about most people haven't knowingly met a trans
yeah,
person.
Course,
you know,
yeah.
I feel like most people probably have
oh,
met
yeah,
a trans
person. Oh yeah, you probably
person.
Sat next to someone on the tube,
and had no
in
idea.
The toilet. Because that's the thing, you know, with this toilet thing now, it's like, trans people shouldn't be using toilet, the it's, women's... And
they have
we've
the whole
been
time.
The whole
we,
time,
the whole time.
Centuries. Because we've been around since the ancient Egyptian times, before that even. I'm not very good at history, but we've been around since like the days. There's like Greek statues of trans bodies, because
yeah.
the third gender is a real thing.
Yeah,
it's like,
absolutely.
It's a scientific thing. Like, there's nuances of gender, and yeah, and we've been around forever, so we've been using those toilets with you the whole time, baby. So you just didn't know, because we're so pretty.
I have a lot of friends, like really close friends, who are kind of outside of the LGBT plus community.
Yes.
And I've had a conversation recently where one of my closest friends in the world told me just like, oh, I don't know any trans people. I've never met knowingly met a trans person.
Yeah.
It just like blew my mind, because I think I'm wrapped up in this community
yeah.
so much that
yeah.
you know, I'm meeting trans people every day, but I think. And, you know, just getting somebody to sit down and be like, I'm going to do your nails. I'm a trans person. It
I don't want to say normalize. It's
I'd like say humanizes.
Humanizes.
Because normal is a dirty word. Like, who is normal? Why should we all want to have to be normal to be accepted or not killed? But, like, human is the word, I think. Because when you're holding hands, essentially, while I'm doing your nails, like, with a trans person, having not met a trans person before, it's hard not to feel someone's humanity when they're looking at you in the eyes, having a chat, maybe talking about deep shit, like how the abuse I might face. Because I let them lead the conversation, ask me what they want. But, yeah, how can you not feel my humanity? How can you still go away and not like trans people? And I've been doing for 5 years, so clearly it's working.
That's amazing. So tell me about the lobster. How does that work?
Oh yeah, so
on my nails.
Yeah, so I sell nail decals. So they're like nail stickers. So I design them and make them and send them out and stuff. And yeah, so I just thought the nails, like I said, are such a good catalyst for conversation. So if you're walking around with lobsters on your nails, someone is bound to ask you, why do you have lobsters on your nails? And it's the perfect time then to segue into, well, actually, you blah blah blah, and then give the whole like trans thing. And like now you're bringing up again, like you're like hacking conversation by like bringing trans stuff in. Because I like don't like to shove things down people's throats. I don't like to be like shouting and like da da da. But if you're able to do it in clever ways, like I say, through my nail pop-ups where I'm just doing people's nails and talking about it, or through your own nails and talking about it, it's so much more clever and so much less aggressive. And I think people react to that a bit better.
It is. And I think you've hit on the really perfect note of kind of making it an interesting conversation.
Yeah,
because if I'm sat here with lobsters on my nails, and one of my friends is going to go, why lobsters?
And then
suddenly, number one, you have that interesting fact about lobsters. What is it they have?
Gynandromorphic?
I can't say that word. That's hard.
I know you can say that word. Why are you lying? If I, a fashion graduate, can say gynandromorphic, you can say it.
It's an incredible way to start
the
conversation.
Thank you so much,
Callum. And I'm just in awe of everything you're doing.
I'm in awe of your pecs. I'm sorry, I've been staring at your pecs this whole time. You have like the best pecs. You have bigger pecs than I have boobs.
It's a very tight t-shirt.
Yeah, I can see.
Are you ready for some sex confessions?
I love sex confessions.
Me too. Thank you so much to everyone who has sent these in. Would you like to read the first one for me?
I actually can't read. It's my own secret shame. Okay. Can you imagine? I've been in a relationship for a month and I feel like he's ready to have sex, but I'm not. He's recently bragged about all these past lovers he's had. I'm a bit intimidated, to be honest. How shall I combat this?
Oh, combat's a strong word. This doesn't have to be a battle. It doesn't have to be a fight.
I mean, it probably should be if he's bragging about all his past lovers. How rude.
Yeah, I feel like... I don't mean to make assumptions, but I feel like this person may be a virgin. The way that they're speaking makes it sound like perhaps they've not had sex before. Yeah. Or maybe they have, and you know, it's a new relationship and they're not ready for that yet. And I feel like you're ready for a fight on this, Charlie.
Always. I hate these sorts of boys, assuming it is a boy.
Yeah.
He said he.
I agree. Like, the whole, like, bragging about, like, all the sex I've had with all these people.
It's okay to do that with your friends, but not with someone you're trying to get in bed, dumb brain. Like,
yeah.
are you serious?
Are you
really
an idiot?
Think that's the way to get someone in bed? Like, yeah, I've had sex with all these other people. Look, it's like that's not very romantic, and that's
absolutely.
That's not going to make me like you at all. Like, it might impress some people, but I don't think it would, to be honest, impress many people. I think it's very rude, actually. If anything, it's kind of obvious. It's fine to have sex with loads of people. That's not the point. But my point is you don't say that to the person you're trying to sleep with.
Especially if you're kind of suggesting that you want to take it slow and maybe you're not ready. It's a little bit much. So I think you need to have a conversation. How combative you are about this conversation, I feel like Charlie and I might disagree on. I think take it gently. And
we don't even have the conversation. I'm sorry, but I'm sort of girl like, bitch, I'm not even having that conversation. Bite blocked. Like, if you're the sort of boy who's gonna, when you're trying to win me over, be bragging about, literally he used the word bragging about how many lovers he's had, okay, then bye. I'm not the one for you, sis. Like, I'll move on to the next one. Like, I need to, if he's acting like this now before he's had you, imagine how he's gonna be acting when he's had you.
Just
to be real, it's only going downhill. I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong.
So
Charlie's advice is
dump him. Reply to him. Ghost him. Have sex with his dad instead.
that's good advice.
Yeah. I love it.
See if his father is available. Is the advice that we're giving on FUBAR Radio today? do what you wish with that information. Thank you for all the work you're doing.
Thank you for having me, Callum.
Thank you for
letting me talk
show.
About it.
It's been great. It's been a lot of fun, and you. Don't tell the other guests I said this, but you're one of my favourite guests ever.
Yay!
This is amazing.
Can I have that in writing as
well?
Yeah,
write it all down for you.
Yay! Hi, my name is Savannah Brown. I'm a writer and a spoken word poet, and I had the best time at FUBAR today. It was so fun, so just conversational and chill. Callum was so easy to talk to. There were some jokes, but we talked about some more serious stuff too. So I think it kind of covers all your ground. Some fun, some thoughtful stuff. But everything. A lot of fun. FUBAR's the best.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio. Welcome, 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 Dr. Vades. How's it going?
Hello, you're so all right. Good.
Lovely to see you both.
You've got a really good radio voice.
Have I?
Yeah.
Sick. I don't know if it's just I sound better because it's there's a microphone on.
Even my voice sounds better.
Imagine if.
Wow.
I sound like, raw, I'm famous.
Yeah, you both sound famous.
Oh my days, wow.
Like, crazy famous. Like
the pictures and that. Huh?
To the point where I feel uncomfortable because you sound so famous.
Well, do you want autographs?
Yes.
Oh, you want one?
Although, do people still ask for autographs from people?
Yes. I've been asked quite a few times past week.
For autographs? Yes. Not just selfies?
No.
Sick.
Oh, is selfies a new thing?
Yeah, as in, like, people don't actually ask for written. They want just to get a picture, and it's
no,
so sad.
Been asked.
Do you get selfies as well, though?
Yeah, but, like, you know, my selfie game is not really good, you know.
I was going to say, how is your pose selfie game? Like?
Yeah, no, I've never taken a selfie before.
Yeah, but what about when other people want to take one with you?
I just smile like this.
I hide my face. If I look crap, and you look good, we got to take it again.
Oh, I'm livid. You know I'm livid when that happens. Also, there's nothing you can do in a way, because it's like you're taking the photo, that other person is taking it away with them.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know exactly.
And without looking a bit like a dick, being like, can I see it, please? Scroll through it. How many did you take? Delete those four, please, in front of me while I can see you.
Why is it four? Why 83?
I don't know how many they've taken, do I? Okay, they might have only taken five, and therefore I'm making them delete all the evidence of the other four.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, I don't get asked for pictures, so I'm not in this situation, but I'm giving you guys tips. Because I'm just mentally putting myself there, you know?
Don't worry, we'll take a picture on my iPad. A selfie.
Should we take a selfie right now?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Like, there's no way you can hold the selfie camera and look good.
How do you turn this
around? If you can, then that means you're doing witchcraft.
Yeah, that means you're a witch.
Yeah, 100%.
So you know, like in the olden days when they used to like do stuff like walk down the street and they'd be like witch. Now it's like you can take a good selfie you're witch. A witch.
I know you've got to take it then.
No, you're the witch. You do it.
I'll do it and I'll look like shit.
Yes.
Fine.
Thank you.
Ready?
Are we gonna do this?
I'm gonna look like a thumb. Are you ready, everybody?
Oh my god.
Ready?
That's the best selfie ever.
Yeah.
That's how you take a selfie.
That is the best selfie ever. Yep. We need to post up.
Yeah.
You post it. Are you in the studio right now? What's going on?
Working on an EP.
Yeah.
Mm. How long's the EP? I always like to know this. Is it four tracks? Is it eight tracks?
It's not even. It's not more a track thing. Is duration?
It's one track.
No, duration.
One track. One track
it's,
EP.
It's just one really long song.
Oh my days.
I'm
not going for a track. This is more like it has to be 30 minutes.
It's a 45-minute single song.
Yes, it is.
Oh my days.
Listen, I think it would be good.
There's 26 verses and 400 choruses.
Oh, and at the end, you just die. There's no breath left. Now, Complex, actually, just quickly going back, I wanted to quote, because I like reading quotes from other people.
Yeah.
Complex described the track as so far the most unexpected banger of 2019.
100%.
That's very sick coming from Complex.
When I saw that, I was thinking, yeah, that's it.
That is.
No, I hit the nail on the head.
Because they don't. You know, things like that, when remarks like that are made, obviously there's a difference between premieres and stuff where it's like they're supporting, but they're not like blanketly just being
exactly.
This is.
Yeah.
Can you tell me who the people are that you would like to work with, that you're excited, like you're the ones that you're...
All right, go on. You go first then, mate.
Oh, you have said it. Yeah, but you haven't. You didn't say anything.
No, but because it's pretty much more or less the same thing. But I will say that there's one singer that is very sick and her name's Morgan.
Oh, I haven't heard.
She's so Nang. Do you know
she's
what Nang
associated
means?
Associated with...
Nang. No.
You know what Nang means?
No. What's don't laugh at me. Nang? That's like advert where people are like, you don't know what a latte is. You've just made me feel like the McDonald's advert. You don't know what a latte
is. What's the new word for Nang?
You don't know what a flat white is.
Nang is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew that. I was only joking.
Aha, got us.
Scheme.
1-0.
God, I love you guys.
Oh, I love you back.
Do you get on well aside from working together?
Okay, a question for you. Do Noel and Liam Gallagher get along?
They hate each other with a deep, fiery passion.
There we go. We're the urban version.
Oh, okay. You're the urban version that are still together.
Have to be, don't we?
Right. Yeah.
Contractual and stuff.
Literally. Mm. Locked in.
Mm. Locked in.
Do you find before and after sessions and when you're working, do you chat? Or is it like, hi, how are you? Yeah, let's do it.
Once I'm done, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Just like, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I don't know. I'm not a brother. That's what I say to my brother. Hi, how are you? And then I walk off. What's the best session you've ever had? That's gone like the crate. Like whether it's that you made the best song, or it's that you had the weirdest like something weird happened or something great happened.
Why hasn't no one asked us that?
You're the best.
Thank you. He best said it. It's recorded.
No, that's the best question I've ever been asked. That's
the best session. The best session.
Oh my God.
Have a minute to think about it because there's been a lot of sessions.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think. Best session.
I've never been to a session, so I can't join.
You're going
to
have to come.
Yes, which will then become your best session.
Yeah, it's
yes.
a party, man. It's a party.
Now, all of our... Yeah, it's just like all... Literally, each session that we have as a Dr. Faye session is always a party.
I'm definitely
there's drinks,
coming.
There's everything.
Oh, wait.
What, is there snacks?
Everything.
Everything.
What kind of snacks?
The ones you like.
I love snacks, though.
Yeah.
On a serious level.
No, 100%.
Because I would be judging you on what snacks you had.
Oh, it's a shop.
Yeah.
Oh, sick!
Yeah. Right, cool. So the best session
for you, go on.
Okay.
I would say my top three. So I'll put this in no order. This is my top three.
No which order. Is probably,
I would say Don E, you're right here.
Oh. So tell me why. Tell me why.
Because.
Just because of the song? You're being so like, you're I'm not telling
to,
me the.
I know, because I'm trying to. Trying
did you
to
dance? Did you learn to samba in the session?
It was a party. It was a party, yeah.
So you did learn samba
how
then.
Were you sambering in that song? No, you can't samba to that.
You can samba to anything. Anything.
You can samba to anything.
Thank you.
You can. Still, you can.
Oh my days, that is.
When can I come to the studio?
When you're ready.
As soon as possible.
When you're ready.
Okay, ASAP, because I just quickly run through what I like snack wise. Haribo, all different kinds of crisps. Like there's no, I don't have any, I'm not prejudiced in any way. Dips need to be present though, if I'm having crisps.
100%, like 100%.
I want to be moist as well as very dry. And also veg, you know, if there's a smidgen of veg.
Oh, no, I think that's the
too far.
Too boring.
Okay, sorry.
What kind of veg, though?
Like pepper, because it's, like, flavorful.
Oh, yeah. You
sweet,
yeah,
you know? Yeah. But, like, strawberry laces, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Wait, is that your vegetables?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, peppers and strawberry laces. Do you not?
Dead.
That's what my smoothie is in the morning. Strawberry laces.
Was down. your breakfast. Oh,
that's crazy.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? No.
Breakfast is hilarious, but go on,
I'll make it for you. That sounds weird. That's weird. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Liv Dawson, and I had such a great time at FUBAR Radio. I absolutely love Harriet, and it was so nice to catch up with her.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Now that we have found this love, baby, I can't explain my feel. Oh, now that we have found this love, baby, I've never felt this real. Oh, loving you is all I know, baby. You make me feel so high. Oh no. I just wanna feel your love, babe. You know I'm down the right.
Oh, no, no. When your song, and your hands in mine.
And I'm holding you tight, make it feel good. Let me hold it down. I'm so glad we found. It's whenever you like, make it feel good. Make it feel good. Haters can't say shit. I know sometimes it's hard when I'm so far. I know you miss this love. Let's go somewhere far away, baby, where we don't need no phone. 'Cause now that we have found this love, baby, you'll never be alone. When your song is on and your hands in mine, and I'm holding you tight, make it feel good. Let me hold it down. I'm so glad we found. It's whatever you like, make it feel good.
it down. Yeah, but I'm so tired of wasting all this time. I need your love right now. Give it to me like I'm.
Fubar Radio presents
Access All Areas.
Do you know what the funny thing about Sarah is, right? And the reason I'm being so open about it now is because in the house, what they didn't show was she said to me, oh, Jem, me and you would get on really well on the outside. It's just in here. It's too much, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, fair enough. If you really think that, then I'll give you a chance on the outside. So I have texted her and she's not responded.
Oh, really?
So she
That's
obviously
a shame.
Didn't mean what... Well, it's not really, but she didn't mean what she said. So I've been pied by Sarah Harding. Oh, no.
Every Thursday,
Access All Areas.
From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We have our next guest sitting right here with us.
Oh, he's gorgeous. That was sorry.
that was a really poor Scottish accent.
Sorry.
Ryan, Laurie, hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for
Ryan,
having
you're looking
me.
Well.
Thank you.
I last
Thank
saw you on The X Factor. That was 2016, was it?
2016, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
3 years ago now. Did you watch the show after you were on it? Or?
No.
Really?
Nah.
Was that on purpose or weren't you interested?
Just like never, like obviously it's on a Saturday night, isn't it? And like,
you're out, I'm busy.
just doing things, you know? It's like, but busy as well, just working, writing, and you don't really have time to like, I don't have time to anyway, to like sit and watch it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think I've seen a few people on it and they were really talented, like Rack Sue were on the year after me, they were really good, and they're doing really well now. Yeah, I think everyone just goes and does their own thing after, so never really had enough time to kind of sit down and watch it.
Hold on, but you've had enough time to go out with a gorgeous girl, Emily Middlemiss.
Oh, there's always enough time for that. Yeah,
yeah, there's always enough time. Is that still on? Or?
Yeah, we're still together. Yeah, we were together before it, before we went on the show, which a lot of people don't realise.
No.
So we're kind of from the same area.
Did you hide that, though, from Mr. Count? Did you say maybe not a good idea to say we're in a relationship?
We had it up until judges' houses, and then they were like, "So, do you have a girlfriend or anything?" And
no,
I was like, no, yeah. And she was
on
judges' houses at the same time. So it was like, I think they were like, "Oh my god, what? This is like so random."
That's a story they would have wanted to know beforehand.
Was she being looked after by
tactical.
Nicole?
It was tactical.
Was she being looked after by Nicole as well?
She was looked after by Simon.
Oh, Simon, that's right.
So
you were fibbing to Mr. Cow. Right, I'm just going
to make sacrifices.
what have you been up to since the show, though?
Since the show, we went on tour, obviously, a massive tour, and then I released a few tracks myself independently and went on my own tour of the UK. And then I've been writing constantly for like other artists, which is what I love. It's like that's where my heart lies, like writing. So it's been amazing to kind of be in studios and write songs. Yeah, it's just really cool.
Does it give you a fan base, X Factor, that stay with you, or are you still trying to build on that?
Yeah, I think it does give you a fan base, but I think, like everything, it's just a platform.
Yeah, it's what you make
feel like
of it, right?
Exactly. And when I came off, I was like, right, I need to use this to my advantage. Mm. So like that's why I was like jumping on tours.
That's good. You were positive with it, though.
Yeah.
You've got to be positive, because a lot come out and say, oh, well, you know, no one really bothered with me.
Yeah.
But you've got to make
it. You're the one that has to put the work in.
It won't just fall on your lap.
Well, Simon, actually, whenever I got... The night I got put out, Simon came up to me at the end and he was like, you know, this is where it begins. It's like, you need to put the work in now to make it happen, or you can just kind of let it...
Drift.
Vanish, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, I was thinking the other day, actually, when I was at work, we were talking...
Did it hurt?
Yeah, ow. Still in recovery. About how well Ryland's done off the back of... Oh, I mean, obviously, he's not now a singer.
Nicole was his mentor, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And, like, what he's gone on to do now, he's basically like Mr. Everyman. You know what I mean?
Oh,
he's got Radio 2 show, he does This Morning, he does his own stuff. Like, would you ever consider doing more stuff like that, or do you think you're solely in it for the music?
Yeah, I think I would consider,
or anything that comes along.
Yeah, I would do it. I would do it. I'm open to doing a lot of things, you know, like I want to kind of branch out and do lots of things, but I feel like music right now for me is like I'm kind of on the brink of something and I don't want to kind of jeopardize that, so I'm like working, just kind of trying to make it happen with the music first and then possibly start doing
and
other things.
And do you, with the music, do you just want to get signed? Is that how you do it? I mean, what is the best way to make it in the music industry? Because it's such a hard business, isn't it? It's one of the hardest.
Well, I think with the songwriting side of things, it's all about it's all about the music, you know? If you can write, like, a smash hit and it goes big, like, it's hard to explain. I kind of just do it because I love it, you know?
Do you have a pen by your bed and go, right, I've got that? Because that's what I know. So yeah. Paul McCartney used to do that.
He's done fairly well for himself.
Scrambled eggs. And he went into yesterday. No, he's got scrambled eggs yesterday. That's what he did.
Oh, I remember that, actually. Yeah. The interview, yeah. That's how he wrote it.
He wrote it.
That was mad. No, but I think the way I write
it is... Poached eggs.
Poached eggs, number one single.
I want some credit on that.
I just get my guitar. I just sit with my guitar and kind of get a few chords going and then just start writing how I feel, basically. And then if I'm writing for other artists, we'll like talk before the session and be like, so what do you want to say, blah, blah, blah. And then it just kind of happens, you know. Yeah, it can be really good or it can be really bad.
Have you had any like of those? I've heard about experiences where songwriters have walked into the room and the band's like after an hour have just walked out because it's just gone so badly. Like, you've got to get a chemistry together.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. And you need to be open. Like, if you're not open and you're quite closed, then it's going to be harder. But yeah, I've had a few sessions that have just been completely terrible.
And are you and Emily in competition with each other? I mean, obviously, because you're both performers, singers. Yeah. Is it difficult? Or do you think you could do a duet? You could be like Renee and Renata.
That is a very old school reference.
Yeah, okay,
Lizzie.
But I'm trying to think. I couldn't think of another duo.
Dolly Parton. What's the one that the
Kenny
Islands in the Stream?
Yeah, Kenny
yeah,
Chesney.
But you need, like, when went out with each other. You know, it's kind of cute. Like Dollar.
Okay, and again, I mean, you're losing people, Lizzie.
Look it.
Could you do a duet with your girlfriend?
Yes. It would need to be kind of now, though, like kind of, I don't know.
Why are you
like,
going to end it with a show? You better hurry up.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, not like an old country song or something. Yeah. It would need to be like, not something cheesy. It need to be quite cool.
Take me home, country road.
What kind of stuff is your music like? Then we've got a song to play it.
Really pop. Like, love, like, American pop. Like, just really good vibes. I love country music as well. It's, like, one of my favourites. So, yeah, just kind of telling stories and, like, helping people, I suppose, and making people feel good.
I love country music.
That's my favourite.
Yeah, I do. Because it always have a meaning. There's a story.
Definitely.
I just like pop music.
That's
a good thing.
Who do you aspire to? I mean, do you like the Justin Biebers?
Yeah, obviously, I kind of grew up with listening to that, and then obviously I love like Ed Sheeran, and then it goes to like bands like the Rolling Stones, and then it goes to it just expands the whole kind of music scene apart from like death metal. I can't do that.
Fair.
I can't. Fair. I've tried, but I just
it's too heavy for you.
It's too heavy.
I don't mind a bit of Black Sabbath.
Oh no, I like stuff that it's the stuff that's like the pig squeals and all that. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't,
yeah, no, no,
I don't
no,
understand.
Too far.
My name's Chico, and I'm here at FUBAR. I've had a fantastic time here. Amazing presenters, amazing vibe. Now, I've done a lot of radio stations and interviews before, but I have to say, this feels like home. You're just part of the family. It doesn't feel like a radio interview. It feels like you're sitting in your living room having a chat with good friends. And that's a beautiful thing.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
How's your show going, Nathaniel?
It's going amazingly.
Is it really?
I've won the Edinburgh Awards. I think it's a shoo-in, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolute shoo-in. I wasn't even really going for awards this year either, but this...
I'm not even going to think about the awards this year. Fucking hell, the arrogance of some people. Do you know what? If you're going into Edinburgh thinking about the awards, you can just go and fuck right off.
Every Friday...
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
From 12 PM.
FUBAR Radio.
I saw on my Twitter feed that I had a thing that was in my DM requests.
Yeah.
And it was someone saying, from a few weeks ago, we're going back, it is from Adam Friend.
Friend.
Oh, yeah. Could be a friend. But it's Adam Friend, his name.
That's made up, mate.
And he sent through some...
You've been catfished again.
again.
But that's like the idea that it's a friend trying
after
to
she took all your money last time. Can't believe it.
He's got the date. He's doing a thing a few weeks ago when you were asking for when the film Runaway Train was on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
So Runaway Train, it says 3rd of December 1988. Sorry. That's
too early.
Too early. Okay. 23rd of January 1993.
That 23rd of January?
Yeah.
1993?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
One after that, it says 14th of July 1997.
No, that's too late.
Okay, well, that looks like...
Right.
23rd of January, 1993.
23rd of January, 1993. Oh, wow. Okay, brilliant. So if you don't know...
You were saying a few weeks ago there was some sort of personal...
I just remember something life-changing happened to me. And I remember that on the day that it happened, the film Runaway Train, starring Eric Roberts and... John Voight.
Yes.
Was on TV. And I just remember it being on. I didn't really watch the whole film. Or any of it, really. I just remember it being on in the background of my life as I was going through this event. And I wanted to know the date so that I could, like, really specifically pinpoint that moment in my life and maybe celebrate it every year. And if it's the 23rd of January 1993, I think that's as close as I'm going to get. Because, you know.
What happened?
Oh, it was the date of my first wet dream. And then I realised that I was finally a man. and the reason I didn't watch Runaway Train was because I was spending most of my time locked in the bathroom playing with my new toy and then, you know, sitting down for a bit to reserve some energy. But, I mean, those first few weeks when you realise, you know, the full power of your responsibilities...
It was with great power.
It was just absolutely amazing. Didn't see my family for years. So it was when I first ejaculated, which was closely followed up by the next 24 times I ejaculated on the 23rd of January 1993.
Right, great.
Do you remember your first ejaculation? I remember mine. I woke up in the night. I woke up in the night and I was
like a runaway train.
And I was covered in my, and I didn't know what it was, but I was covered in sticky stuff. And I woke up and I was confused and it smelled
like you're Spider-Man.
It smelled weird. And I was like, what's this? And then, you know, I was sort of in a daze and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning and confused. And when I worked out what it was, I just didn't get any sleep. 20, and then what a year, because 6 months later Jurassic Park came out. Oh wow.
Well, 23rd of January. I mean, he's missed it this year, which is a shame.
It's a shame. But do you know what? By coincidence, I absolutely celebrated in style. Oh, look at that. Just, you know what? Randomly, accidentally, I've managed to celebrate that day almost by chance every single year.
It's uncanny, isn't it?
It's uncanny. I'll do some... here's some fan club. Oh, and speaking of which, here's a review. Fantastic chat. Thank you. 5 stars from Bernie Bumcrack, brother of Bob Balaban. This is a great show. It's like the conversations I'd have in the pub with my mates. Well, if I had mates and weren't too unsociable to be in a pub, that is. I love the interesting movie facts that I seem to discover. And great guests, all delivered in a fun package. Do you know what? You've absolutely nailed the tone of the show that we're going for here. You've given us 5 stars, brilliant, because it's a 5-star show, but you haven't taken yourself too seriously. Remember, you've got ears, you can always switch them off. So
thanks, Bernie Bumcrack.
Thanks, thanks, Bernie Bumcrack, if that is your real name. And speaking of Bernie Bumcrack, thumbs up.
Yes, 5 stars.
Thumbs up, Bernie, thumbs up. Thumbs up, Bernie Bumcrack. 5 stars. This is from Bad Wolf. Go on, take it away, Nat.
the finest podcast ever produced. All others, including mine, should be removed from iTunes immediately.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. There's far too many
podcasts.
There's far too many
comedians
that just think one way to go forward is to start up a podcast. And I think it's absolutely pitiful.
Why don't you just keep the 5-star ones, guys, and get rid of all the others?
If you're a comedian that wants to start up a podcast, why don't you just try and get some more gigs? Yeah. Anyway, I'm loving doing this radio show. So, this one from Captain Batman.
I love it.
It's creative, isn't it? Fine. Fine chaps, both of them. I'm sorry we let you down. Never again. Brilliant. Good. Finally.
Sorry we let you down.
If you've got any more apologies, keep them rolling in. it really does delight me and Nat to know that you are sorry for disobeying your masters. those are all the reviews we've got in this week, I think. I'd like to thank you for that international search that we had to find out when Runaway Train was on TV, yeah. So that I could finally pinpoint the exact date of my first ejaculation.
Thought it might be something.
Thanks,
a bit.
Guys.
Okay, never mind.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. It's a bit like Blue Peter or something, isn't it?
We're very
like
blue.
National campaign.
The national campaign.
Sending your bottle tops or something you could do, couldn't you? Yeah. I've got millions of them now. I don't know quite how this equates to money.
Wouldn't need much PVA glue for that project.
Yo, it's Grim Sickers. I just jumped off Food Bar Radio. Had a great time. Great hosts. Funny as hell. One of the few radio stations where I can be myself, swear, play some wicked games. I want to come back and co-host it. So if you need me, shout me. Sickers. Hey.
Food Bar Radio presents...
Floor is yours with Femi.
Let's hear from a caller. His name is Nish. I feel like I recognize this voice.
Yeah, it's one of the more recognizably nasal voices.
I watched you on Question Time last night offering a debate.
Yeah, I mean,
they're gonna blame immigrants anyway. You may as well go in there instead of man. They'll be like, well, fine, we'll take this darkie's word for it.
Let me absolutely go in there and spring time for Hitler Brexit.
Every Friday.
The floor is yours with Femi.
From 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Hello, I am not Femi. I mean, I know we sound almost indistinguishable, but we are in fact different people. No, in fact, I am Julian Rubinstein. You may have heard my podcast on Spotify, We Need to Talk About. Welcome to Brexit Day. Yay, Brexit Day. We're also exactly where we've been for the last 3 years. And what has really happened? Well, the country's been divided. Nigel Farage has literally started parties and walks, left them, charged people £50 to even go on a walk and then not even been there. Theresa May has seemed less and less competent, which frankly is staggering. David Cameron has probably got his trotters up somewhere, as Danny Dyer would say. And we have got a Lord, no less, who worked cross-party and has told me a number of times that he's almost gone to 150 meetings up and down the country where he thinks he has captured the public mood, live and direct from Newcastle, no less. Welcome to the show, Lord Andrew Adonis. Andrew, how are you?
Hi, great to be with you. I've just heard the result as well.
Yeah, shocking shocking.
Yeah, very good news for those of us who don't want Brexit, because her deal is now as dead as the dodo. I mean, she's tried it 3 times. She's now used the rack, the thumb screws, everything, and she still can't get it close to the line. And she's absolutely up against it. And now, because we're not going to leave without a deal, of course, she's got to apply for a long extension. So we're in the death throes of Brexit. She will have to apply for a long extension because she can't get her deal through. And if she can't get her deal through, then otherwise we'd crash out. And Parliament's already said it's not prepared to crash out because that would mean people's jobs and livelihoods in jeopardy. You know, the airport's not working, the port's not working, 6 weeks of medical supplies and so on. So having applied for a long extension, we have to then find a way of resolving Brexit. And since her deal's off the table and there isn't an alternative deal that could realistically be done, I think it's now only a matter of time before we get to a referendum.
So how would you respond to the many people who've said that there are a lot of real dangers of an even more divisive campaign if a second referendum were held?
Well, look, we're in the realm of lesser evils. I never wanted the referendum 3 years ago, but we had it, and then Brexit proved to be unviable, which is basically what's happened. It can't be done without massive self-harm, which is the reason why Parliament has been unable to agree to a Brexit deal. So we've got to resolve this, otherwise we go off the edge of a cliff.
Let's imagine that we did actually go off the edge of a cliff in a car, and we had to make a final decision about what track you would like to play in that car. You can choose anything from the sort of recent noughties or anything like that. What tune do you think would be most appropriate?
Well, I'm afraid I'd be myself wanting Beethoven's Ninth and the Ode to Joy, so at least I could think of some great uplifting European theme.
Andrew, that's literally the most metropolitan elitist answer you possibly could have given.
I know.
That's absolutely shocking. I mean, literally two people who voted Leave just punched themselves in the face listening to this in Hull as a result of that. Outside Parliament yesterday, whether they were being paid by Vote Leave to be there or not, I have no idea. But there were some extremely frustrated, animated people who were all white. And what I saw again and again was a sort of an argument that was going on where there was just this complete lack of anything other than outrage that they had voted for one thing and it had not taken place. What would you say to those people today? What sort of sense of parliamentary democracy, what's the point of it if they're not getting what they voted for?
Well, they'll have a say too. If we have a referendum, which I think is going to be the only way out of this, you know, with Theresa May's deal on the table, but the option to remain, or indeed some hard Brexit, if that's the third option on the ballot too, they'll have a vote the same as everyone else. So this is about democracy. It's not about subverting democracy. The reason, though, we've got to have a referendum is it hasn't proved viable to produce a Brexit that works. It's not a case that there was a proposal on the table 3 years ago, which then Parliament failed to implement. The reason we're in this mess is because there was no proposal on the table 3 years ago. All there was were four words on the ballot paper, leave the European Union. The government then had to negotiate a Brexit deal. Now, Nigel Farage and some of the people who are in Parliament Square today say that Theresa May did a very bad job of negotiating it. But we are where we are. We don't have a Brexit that can work. We're faced with people's jobs and livelihoods at stake. And I think the right thing to do is to give the British people at large a vote on where we are now.
I think what, you know, irrespective of you know, the majority of voters, and I think it's so, so important that we distinguish here between those that decided to vote Leave and those who ran the Vote Leave campaign, whether it was any sort of part of it. My personal feeling is that those who promoted Brexit, who paid huge amounts of money to promote Brexit, now, we don't know for sure, you know, the Serious Crimes Office, I believe, is still investigating where Aaron Banks, is 11 million that went into the referendum campaign, if it actually came from him, or whether there's a possibility that it was actually funneled through a foreign power, through a Swedish shell company. My feeling is that ultimately, you had a group of people who wanted to burn regulation, who wanted to enable rich white men to get richer, and to enable essentially a deregulated tax haven Britain.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
So